The sermon text this morning from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 21st chapter, the 28th verse. Now when these things take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, when I had kind of started this and in my head, I could hear an old-time radio broadcast knocking down and ticking off all the world events and world activities. And it kind of slid into something more like the picture of a spreadsheet of misery that is all over the world throughout world history. Jesus says, you know, don't be terrified. Don't be terrified. Are we terrified? Are we thinking about these things? I'm not 100% sure. They come and go in our heads. I think it's a bit like that frog in boiling water analogy that you have there. As you know, you're in the water, how that analogy goes. Or you can't see the forest for the trees or the trees for the forest or whichever one you tend to say or anything like that. Well, the fact of the matter is, and the point is, that we're elbow deep in the last days. And if we think about it, the judgment of God is at hand. Now, I'm not too sure that we're all that terribly different from the people in the world who have existed before us and all the times that have come before us in world history. You got the Tamerlanes, the Genghis Khans, the Alexanders, the Caesars. There's always been famine. There's always been disease. There's always been starvation. Contemporary humanity, though, seems to be off to devastation on a grand scale. It's a spreadsheet of misery, as I said. So I was thinking, okay, first column, how about war? Just from when you were in school, and not even the deep dive into history. Just from the memory of your school classes, the 30 Years' War, the Napoleonic Wars, you know, France versus everybody else, the age of colonialism. There's the devastation of the American Civil War, and then there's every other civil war ever on the face of the earth. And that civil war in world history was followed by the war to end all wars with its millions dead. And if that wasn't enough, the nations of Europe and Asia did it all again a generation later for a second time. And with that one, a second one, the most prolific killing machines ever unleashed upon the earth were let go, with boats stalking the seas and the oceans, armies marching across continents, bombs falling from the sky and incinerating cities like Dresden and Tokyo. Then to end it all was Oppenheimer's deadly invention, and with that came the atomic age, with nations pointing missiles at each other with enough firepower to consume the entire planet in a nuclear holocaust. Now, each of these wars did not happen in a vacuum. They also occurred with great civil unrest. There was the French Revolution with its nearly 300,000 people imprisoned for not towing political orthodoxy of the revolutionaries, 17,000 executed, 10,000 died in prison. There's the rise of the industrial age with the horrors of early factories and labor being treated as expendable and natural resources being consumed as if they'd never run out. So what happens? The laborers push back. There's the rise of labor unions. There's strikes and strike breakers. And each and every step of human development seems to be accompanied by crime and crimes against humanity. We have the communist regimes of Lenin and Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot and Castro, none of whom appeared just out of nowhere, but they came in response to oppressive regimes that preceded them. They rose from oppression and turned into their own forms of tyranny upon humankind. And then the next column on my little spreadsheet of misery was that of natural disasters, things that happen in nature and to people, like the Black Plague. There's syphilis epidemics, there's smallpox, tuberculosis, the Spanish flu, polio, and all those diseases were accompanied by things like the Dust Bowl, the drought in East Africa, famine in Eastern Europe, China, Cambodia. And where do we find ourselves today in the world's recent history? We find ourselves within the last 5 years of 101 named tropical storms, wildfires devastating the western regions of our country, water levels in the Mississippi River falling. The same is true for the rivers in Egypt and the continental Europe and England. All their rivers are suffering from lack of moisture and drought. Here, there is societal distrust of institutional authorities, pointed out by the lack of respect for law enforcement or our laws and the legal system, none of which has stopped the shameless pandering of politicians, all leading to a moral degeneration where states keep voting to legalize all stripes of drugs and all kinds of things like that, while other states can't pass legislation to keep babies alive who've been born from a botched abortion. And we all as a culture have a maddening rush to embrace the murder of preborn children as a right, an inalienable right enshrined in our laws. How sad is that, that we value human life so little? All of these things can be summed up in the phrase, man's own inhumanity to man. All of these things should justly and rightly earn the inhabitants of this earth the wrath of God being poured out upon it. Indeed, for such gross and wanton sin, the wrath of God will be poured out on the world as each believer, unbeliever, and mocker of Christ will be punished in eternal fire. All of this might make us want to hide. It might make us want to run away or curl up in a ball and hope the world slides into oblivion without us. But what are Jesus' words to us this morning? Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the world's Savior, has said this: now when you see these things take place, straighten up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The natural order of the world will crumble. The natural order of the world will fall apart. The heavens will be shaken to the point where humanity will be dumbstruck about all of it. And the chaos will be incredible. But what about us? What happens to us when we see all of these things going on? Well, the word of Jesus is very clear. Stand up. Put your shoulders back. Lift your head up. Scan the skies. Look to the heavens. Why should we do these things? We do these things because we are the keepers of Christ's words. We are the hearers of Christ's words. Why this reaction from us? Because we know that these cataclysms that are striking the world point to the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when He returns, He will be accompanied with the full realization of our faith. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the sign that the end of the world has come upon us. So we know from the time of the resurrection has been the last days. The time of the resurrection to whenever Jesus returns, those are the last days. And that we have, as St. Paul says, been buried with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Here for us today are Jesus' pastoral comments concerning the end of the world. When everything seems to be going awry, when the world seems to be falling apart and all things seem against you, when nations are in uproar and nature is falling apart at the seams and everything is going wrong, don't hide. Don't hide. The end of the world is not a reason for us to fear, but instead it is a reason to look up and to pay attention, because eternal life for we believers in Jesus Christ is about to begin. What we have waited for all of our lives is about to happen. Because what is all of this pointing to? It's all pointing to our eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's why you bring your children to the waters of holy baptism. Because you have come to believe that the world is broken, that the world is in rebellion against its Creator, that you also trust your Creator's words that He will punish the defiant and the rebellious. But you are equally convinced of the Father's mercy, the mercy that He gives to the repentant And that mercy is given first in baptism, a baptism that makes you a member of the King's family and gives you forgiveness and a life that comes with the promise that this new life will be fully revealed in you when Jesus returns in all of His glory. And that the rest of your lives, the lives of your waiting, are lived in repentance and faith, confession and absolution, receiving the sacrament of the altar and rising from the altar and returning to your lives to serve your Lord in the places that He has placed you, and to wait. And to wait, because we have the good news that Jesus Christ is going to return. And when He returns, He will carry us to glory, and what we are in God's eyes will be fully made known. So let's take some moments here today and remember that when someone is having a conversation about the world going to you-know-where in a handbasket, let your response be that, yeah, it is. It is, and it's not unexpected. And let people know that, yes, the last days are drawing near, and it is time to repent of sin and return to Christ for forgiveness. So, friends in Christ, do not be afraid of that which can harm the body and not the soul. And when you see the evidence that the last days are upon us, do not hide, but rather be confident of your Lord's return. For the day of your redemption is nearer than when you first believed. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.